This is Liam here of the Anxious Conservative podcast, and I'm just in the car at the moment with my father. Ute with my father. We're going to go and pick up a playhouse or a cubby house that's in a state of disrepair, which is going to be repurposed for a tree hut. And consistent with my habit of late, I thought that I would interview my father, my dad, and just get his view on the news, and maybe get a sense of his sort of priorities as another somewhat normal person who's, you know, not obsessed with politics but is interested in it. So Dad, are you you're interested in politics? You're pretty informed politically, aren't you, really?
I've always been interested in politics. And when I was about 16.
Yeah. And are you currently a member of any political party?
No.
You're formerly a National Party sort of associated person? Yeah.
Yes.
Were you in Rob's mob?
I was in Rob's mob in 1975.
Yeah. So you used to go and heckle David Longy and things like that?
He was our best target. He's the biggest target and best.
Yeah. But you're somewhat, you know, and so you're a dairy farmer, and I suppose there's...
I am conservative by and large.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, not in a dogmatic way, right? I mean, you've got a number of...
Oh,
yeah. And like most people...
I would consider voting for Labour if it was the only party around, probably.
Yeah. So if there was one party choice, you would vote for them?
I would probably... I think it's, everyone should vote. So
would you
I would.
Would you vote for Labour over the Greens?
Oh, yes.
What about Labour over New Zealand First?
Tricky one.
Yeah.
Probably, yes, I would say.
Yeah. And what about Labour over ACT?
No.
Okay. So, you know, just you're sort of your regular centre-right type of guy, because you've got, you know, you're not a... You're pretty moderate, really, right?
I should cut my tongue out after saying this, but I actually agree with some of Greens... policies towards farming.
Yeah,
some of them, not all of them.
But that's more common than people might think if they only listen to the media.
The trouble is they like American politics. They bind it up with a lot of stuff I find extremely unpalatable.
Yeah, but I mean, like from an environmental perspective, there are studies and things that show that sort of smaller farmers who have an intergenerational stake and farming tend to be much more open to environmental protections than farmers who don't have that kind of intergenerational connection with the land. Does that surprise you?
No, but it's also the fact that most intergenerational farmers are smaller and they aren't practicing ecology degrading practices like irrigation and buying intensive farming and farming more than, you know, 4.5 cows of the hectare and buying in half your feed. Most small farms don't do that.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that is pretty straight. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, traditional New Zealand way of farming is sort of debt averse, but, you know, if you're in sort of corporate farming, or you've bought into it, you've really got to squeeze every dollar you can out of the land, right?
It's been a vicious circle, basically. People have paid a lot more for the land, and therefore they've got to make a lot more money off each hectare of land. And so it becomes a downward spiral into intensification. It costs them more to produce it, so they've got to have better production.
Yeah.
It's like bigger, not smarter.
Yeah, I mean, your farm is pretty, you know, as far as dairy goes, pretty sustainable. There's no irrigation at all on your farm.
No, I don't believe in irrigation.
Yeah,
I believe in it, but I would not practice it.
Yeah, because it's farming through the environment, not with it, right?
I think there are ways you can work that. You just every now and then, you know, you're going to take a hit with the weather. To me, marginally economic to put irrigation in, and it is not ecologically sustainable at all.
Yeah.
You use more fertilizer because you're washing so much more into the ground, so you're actually fertilizing the ocean.
Yep.
In effect.
And then there's the risk of salination as well.
We don't know how much water's been sucked out.
Yeah.
They test for seawater intrusion, but even they don't know how far the seawater is off the closest bores to the sea. And once it comes in, that's it. You can't get rid of the sea.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that you're the...
It'll probably come in a little bit anyway. If the sea level rises, it will come in anyway just because there's more pressure. So that's an added complication.
Yeah, I mean, as a... Like, you're the fourth in your line on the farm, right?
Yep.
And you've got a succession plan to push you down to a fifth generation in place. So do you think that affects your attitude or makes you more conscious of the sort of need for stewardship?
I think most farmers are, but they can't afford to be.
Yeah.
No one wants to run down the ground. And the other thing is, of course, is that what they're polluting doesn't hang around where they're polluting it, so it's
hard to see.
It's kind of someone else's problem further downstream.
Yeah.
It's like rivers in America where each city you go further downstream, they're taking water out to drink and irrigate, and it's more polluted than the one before them. Well, it's the same here, basically.
And do you think farmers get enough credit for how much change there really has been to farming? Because I think, so I'm 35, even over my lifetime, the changes in farming practices around things like waterways, animal welfare, they've been significant, you know, like they really have.
I think that in the last 30 years or so, it's true of everything, true of society. Things that happened 30 years ago, things that you'd say 30 years ago, are not acceptable now.
Yeah.
Because you know the consequences of these things. And it's the same with farming. Things that you did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Basically, the shed water used to go out of the drain into the bigger drain.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even think about that now.
Yeah.
It's like the tanker tracks. You used to use the same track for the cows as a tanker. We didn't realise it. We kind of realised it, but it was a tanker wheel getting covered in shit and they drive out on the road. It's not good.
Yeah. Try not to swear.
It wasn't swearing.
You're using a technical term.
Yes, it was a technical term, yeah. You've got feces on the tanker track.
That sounds worse.
But the thing is that now you wouldn't even... We had to put separate tax and we thought, what are we doing this for? But now it's something that you wouldn't even countenance doing because it's become ingrained. And like all the tests they do for your milk now, I mean, we have to have our milk cooled down to 6 degrees within 2 hours of milking. Soon we'll be lower than that. And it's just a matter of producing a good product. And earlier on, when I first... There was no refrigeration at all.
Yeah.
And I hate to think what the bacteria count of our milk used to be when we send out for the factory.
Yeah.
And now you test it every month. You're tested for 30 different tests every month.
Yeah.
Some every day.
Yeah.
Some every 3 or 4 days. But basically, it's something you just get used to, and it's something you keep an eye on. And although it's... We used to think it was invasive. Now it's a tool you use.
Yeah.
You can see the semantic cell counter jumped up a bit, so you know there's a problem in your herd, so you can go look for it before it gets too bad.
I mean, I've been on the edges of involvement in things like the Dairy Industry Awards, you know, not as a participant, obviously, because it's not hard working enough to be a farmer, but, you know, like it's good, it's amazing to me to see just how much of a profession farming is becoming, like how much emphasis there is for young farmers on actually becoming skilled and knowledgeable, and you know, it's not just the type of thing that dummies would do, you know, like it's long gone. Yeah. Okay, well look, I mean, you know,
my biggest regret of the farming industry is that we used to have a system that was near on perfect.
Share milking.
Yeah, people would go working on a farm, and then they'd go 19% share milker, or 29% share milker, and then they move up to 39% share milker, and then they move to 50-50, and then they'd buy a farm.
Yeah.
And it was a system that basically
anyone could get into.
Anyone could get into, yeah. But also it maintained a youthful, because anyone could get into it, people did get into it.
Yeah.
And they had goals and sights that were easy to see and obtain. And now it's changed, partly because of the price of farms.
Yeah. So the owner-operator sort of culture is dying out.
It's dying out, unfortunately.
And that's part of New Zealand's way of life is going to go away.
It was almost a perfect system.
Yeah.
So as people got too old, they went to 50-50 shoe milking, and then they sold the farm.
Yeah.
And it was like almost a perfect ecologically sound system financially.
Yeah.
Because it maintained young people in the industry, and it allowed a gracious exit.
Yeah, there's all sorts of reasons why that's sort of dying away. I mean, it comes to things like, farm prices, willingness and expectations of people in their retirement and living longer. Yeah. I mean, that's this whole separate podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're someone like me. Like, you've just got a, just because of the political settings, you've got a natural inclination to sort of support or vote for the National Party. Hasn't always been the way with farmers. And, small farmers in particular, dairy farmers in particular, been that first Labour government era, there were a lot that voted for Labour.
Yes.
I think your father was even a member of the Labour Party, wasn't he?
He was the secretary of the local branch.
Yeah. And so, but that all went away, and sort of in the 40s and 50s, and the farm vote's been pretty solidly national ever since. Do you think that, will that ever change, do you think?
I think it's changing a bit now. I think it's, I think probably a lot of farmers might have voted for Labour this time round, for probably not altruistic reasons as far as Labour Party is concerned, but to keep the Greens out.
Yeah.
But that would never have happened.
Yeah.
That would never happen 20 years ago. No matter what, they could never stoop to voting for Labour, I don't think, back then.
Yeah.
Now they're more targeted in their votes. I wouldn't say the National Party is the
natural.
I'd say it would be the natural, but not necessarily the sole party that rural people would vote for anymore.
Yeah.
And if you got a ACT party that was slightly closer to the centre, I think you see a lot of farmers shift that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's another. I suppose that's another trend we might see over the years if the ACT Party gets smart. Yes. I suppose, yeah. Because the interesting thing is that while the farming block or the farming community has always, it does have a degree of political power. In the absolute numbers, it's there aren't that many. How many dairy farms would there be in New Zealand, for example? 10,000?
About 10,000 farms, but there are
all the spin-offs, isn't it?
More farmers, of course.
Yeah.
And a lot of businesses associated with farmers, but which don't necessarily have the same affiliation.
Yeah. But the farm vote's bigger than the farmers themselves. And, like to me, I just naturally just have the welfare of farmers in mind when I vote, and I would even consider myself to be part of the farm vote, even though I've got soft hands and sit on my ass all day.
Not everyone thinks that dairy farmers are
evil.
The devil incarnate.
Yeah.
But also there are, don't forget, there's not only dairy farmers too. There are beef farmers and sheep farmers and deer farmers and who are all impacted roughly in the same way when rural prices are higher, then everyone's doing well.
Yeah, and inclined towards conservatism politically, because the facts of life are conservative, as Margaret Thatcher said, and you don't get any more exposure to the facts of life than living on a farm,
But, and also, it's a generational thing too. Historically, there's always been a strong conservative vote from rural areas, and you know, you like a lot of things, like religion, like a lot of things, you tend to be somewhat similar to your parents. That's who brought you up. That's who instilled your ideas and your morals and everything. So there's a kind of a probably not as much now, but there will always be a bit of a lag like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to just ask you quickly about two things because we're nearing our destination.
Yep.
So
just like carpool karaoke.
Kind of, but. So first of all, ties in the debating chamber of parliament. Do you care about it?
No.
Not gonna. Not.
I mean, it was a political stunt, and the very nature of the reaction just played into their hands. Really, I mean. Yeah. Things like that don't
do you,
make any difference.
Do you
difference.
Think they should be forced to wear ties, and do you really care?
No, I don't care. I don't care if they wear a turban. I don't care if they wear a kafan. I don't care. Just do your job. You're paid for.
Yeah, okay. And what about the other one was about Ricardo Menendez March. Have you heard of him? Do you know who he is? Had you heard of him before last week, though?
No.
Okay.
Why would you?
Well, yeah, he's a Green MP.
Yeah,
I mean,
like I said, why would you?
Let's bear in mind that we don't know all the facts. We only know what he said and taking his word for it.
Yep.
Do you think it's fair enough that he went overseas?
No.
I don't.
It was a very selfish, self-centered thing to do.
Well, like to look after his parents. If you take his word for that, like that was all there was to it.
Aren't his parents still sick?
Well, yeah, we don't know all the details.
I know that, but he came back with his partner.
Yeah.
And he says they had nothing to do with it. Well, okay. You read that what you may. But
we've got to take his word for
it. The truth for me is that who else can do that while they're earning money?
Yeah, I know. That's the privilege.
He should have.
That's the privilege MPs have, right?
Well, that might well be, but if you've got any the courage's convictions, he should say, well, while I was away, I'm not going to take my money. Just whatever sick leave I'm due, and after that, leave without outpay.
Yeah.
But okay. I don't think that'll happen somewhere.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't even know. But put it this way, does it, as a political matter, are you really that upset about it? Does it bother you greatly, or do you think it's just sort of the noise and background of Parliament?
It's just another case to me of the hypocrisy of politicians, that's all.
Yeah.
Who say do as we say, not as we do.
And would you generalise that to all parties?
Oh, yes. I mean, you don't have to go far to put any party to find exactly the same thing happening. It's just they seem to have a sense of self-entitlement, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm powerful. I work hard, and like no one else works hard, of course. So I deserve this. I deserve to have this.
Well, that's right. You're a bit more populist than other members of our family, but you know that's not surprising because I am
populist,
too.
That's just the way I feel.
Yeah.
I don't care if anyone else feels the same way.
Yeah.
It's just the way I feel. That's all. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
If more people feel that way, then good on them.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks, Dad. So we're going to get this tree hut, and we're going to knock this off by the end of next week.
Hopefully.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Okay. Cheers.